sisters, I remember back.
That's a song called Blow It, Mister. Lyrics by Cynthia Hopkins. Music by Cynthia Hopkins with her band. The band is called Gloria Deluxe from their CD called Must Don't Whip 'em here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. That group was at the Krannert Center in Urbana some years ago, and we got to have them on our program. And I haven't listened to that show for a long time. It'd be interesting to remember. They were a lot of fun to have on. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. Here's what's on the show today. Coming up, I will be talking with and we'll be hearing live in our studio a singer-songwriter and, as she calls it, roots rocker, Arissa Ray, who is from these parts, more or less, now living in Tennessee. She's going to be playing at Walnut Street Winery in Rochester tomorrow night from 7 to 11, so we'll be hearing from her coming up. But first, the current production at the Station Theater in Urbana. The Celebration Company there is presenting Roberto Aguirre Sacasa's play, Provocative Adult Drama, it says here, Good Boys and True. It's directed by Tom Schnari and features a typically ensemble cast, by which I mean the Station Theater usually does shows for ensemble casts. And if you don't know what that term means, that it means not very many people in the show. And we have four of the six with us to do a couple of short scenes, and welcome to all.
Hi.
Hello.
Thanks for coming in, and a return appearance for most of you, I think. I guess, tell us a little bit about the play, and what made you pick it, Tom?
I fell in love with this play about 6 years ago when I first read it, and it had been done at Steppenwolf. It had two productions, one at Steppenwolf and one off-Broadway in New York. I believe it was off-Broadway. And when I got a hold of the script for it, I just could really relate to it being kind of a drama mystery where you have, it's set in 1988 with very affluent family in Washington, D.C. And the mother of this kind of perfect family is called in by her high school son's coach to what she thinks is going to be another commendation or award, because he is shortlisted for Dartmouth and is kind of this popular kid who's an athlete and everything's
going well. And is it a private prep school?
Private prep school named St. Joseph's, so it's a Catholic prep school. And her husband is with Doctors Without Borders, so he's out of the picture for right now. And what she is called in for is the coach has found some of his team watching a homemade videotape that is of a couple, and you can see the girl but not the guy, doing a lewd act. And from what they can see of the boy, it looks like it may be her son. And so she, the coach, and her sister end up sort of investigating whether the son is guilty of this and whether this was a consensual act or not and why this videotape was being made. And as that happens, all the secrets in the family start coming to the foreground, especially Brandon, the son that's played by Max Tomaszewski, and his friendship with Justin, played by William Rose II. And so as that comes along, we start seeing all the secrets that are in this seemingly perfect family and how those secrets have built from a climate that says that boys are allowed to do whatever they want to girls and girls are supposed to accept it.
You refer to it as a drama...
Mystery.
I actually saw it termed as a comedy somewhere.
It has its funny moments. You'll laugh. It's true. That will stop at the end, at the beginning of the second act. The first act, you'll laugh. The second act... gets pretty intense.
The second act, you probably find out that you shouldn't have been laughing. The first time.
Well, they're glued. They're more going, what's going on in the second act? Because it has sort of non-linear timelines, so we get little bits and pieces from past and present sort of put together to tell the whole story. But the audience last night was very satisfied and enjoyed it a lot.
Was it the first show?
First show was last night. Okay. Yes.
Tell me a little bit about the playwright, Roberto Aguirre Sacasa. And I actually had to... I was lucky I found him on YouTube saying his own name.
Nice! I've been trying to do that, and I've only heard one reporter, and he's called it Aguirre, so that's what I've been doing. So
I get it. I mean, it's said in the Spanish way. So.
Yeah, and that makes sense. He is a son of a diplomat, which is the international name. He is American raised, went undergraduate at Georgetown and then graduate school at Yale, has kind of an eclectic writing mix where he's written for Spider-Man comic books. His current venture right now on Facebook is that he wrote a Archie's comic, like the Archies from the 50s and 60s, but it's the Archies after the apocalypse, so it's zombie Archie, and all of the Archie characters have turned into zombies. He is currently workshopping in London a musical script that he's written the book for of the book/movie American Psycho. And he does sort of dark stuff. Like his first plays are all sort of Halloween-y horror type of genres. He also was a script doctor for the Spider-Man Into the Dark musical. After all the debacle with everything, he came in and sort of fixed it and is largely attributed for as long of a run as it had on Broadway.
So that was the Spider-Man reference.
Yes. Yes.
That wasn't clear to me.
And he'd also done some of the comic books.
But none of the movies, which is sort of what I assumed.
No, none of the films.
I wasn't aware they had music.
In fact, he didn't like the first ones.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
Why don't we? I know you brought a couple of
two scenes.
Why don't you set up the first one for us and let me introduce your actors? You mentioned Max Tomaszewski, who is playing the. Is it fair to say two leads, really, or is everybody a lead?
Everyone's a lead. Yeah.
Brandon Hardy. So he's the athletic type caught in flagrante, I guess, is maybe or maybe not. Aaron Clark in the role of Russell Shea. Who is that?
He is the coach.
He is the coach.
So he's the one that brings all this to the attention of everyone.
Justin Simmons, Brandon's buddy, William Rose II, and Cheryl Moody, who is played by Stephanie Senior, and Cheryl Moody is?
She is the girl on the tape.
She is the girl, okay.
And we find her later in the script.
Set up this first scene for us.
First scene is basically when the play begins, Justin and Brandon are very good friends, and they're in their senior year. And then as we go along, we see their first encounter at freshman year at St. Joseph Prep. And so we're going to hear their first encounter and first meeting.
And let me mention that there is a note here that Good Boys and True has graphic dialogue and nudity. Well, it doesn't matter to you as a radio audience whether there's any nudity going on right now or not. but there's a little doctoring, of the dialogue.
Yes.
That we have done in order to pass the FCC regulations today.
Excuse me. Do we? Hi. Sorry. Do you know if these are going to be our lockers for like the next 4 years?
No. This is just when we're freshmen. Next year we'll be on the other side of the weight room.
Right.
You playing football?
At least. This year, at least. I mean, all freshmen are strongly encouraged to, right? Wasn't that in our welcome packet?
My dad says some of the guys he met playing football at St. Joe's are still some of his closest friends.
Your father went here?
He did. Class of 50-something. Did your dad go here?
No, I'm the first in my family.
Lucky. I'm Brandon. Brandon Hardy.
Justin Simmons. You're lucky your name's not Frank or Joe.
Huh?
As in, are the Hardy boys? As in Frank and Joe Hardy?
Oh, right.
I've read every single book like twice.
You have?
I guess I kind of have a soft spot for those V-neck sweaters. Sorry, that was lame.
No, it's funny. You're funny.
Thanks.
Hey, if you want, in class when we split into teams, if you want, we could be on the same team.
Sure.
Hey, the Tower Treasure.
Huh?
The Tower Treasure. That's the first Hardy Boys book, Adventure. And you call yourself a fan? It goes the Tower Treasure, then the House on the Cliff.
Oh my God, followed by
the secret of the Old Mill.
Oh my God.
This, incidentally, is the last conversation we're having about the Hardy Boys in public, okay?
Okay.
You swear?
I swear. Jeez.
Good.
Take from that what you want, I guess.
Yes! There's a, I would say one of the things that the playwright does do is a lot of cultural references. Like, you get a lot of 80s references. He's very well read. You get a lot of references with Hardy Boys and books that deal with teenage angst, like Lesson Zero. And even some references to, like, Pretty in Pink and that sort of film, the John Hughes films. Yeah, so... So all those things sort of interweave in this narrative of these teenage boys and girls and how they interact.
So he's got he meaning the playwright has a thing for was it Jay McInerney, the author of
Let's see, that was Bret Easton Ellis was listening.
Bret Easton Ellis, sorry. Yeah. Who wrote? All right, well, here I am.
And he did Bright Lights, Big City, Jay McInerney.
Which one did American Psycho?
American Psycho was also Bret Easton Ellis.
Okay, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, so they have some sort of friendship, a camaraderie of some sort.
But both of those, both of those books really look at, let's say, for lack of a better expression, the seamy undersides of various things.
And this play sort of does, too. Of a very nice suburban family.
I read somewhere that at some point in the play he starts clearly making a statement.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of statement. As I was talking to another friend of mine, I said this really talks about how we teach our sons to treat our daughters, how we teach our daughters to allow themselves to be treated, and then also how we teach our kids to treat those who are different than them. So, yeah, I think he's got a definite statement as to how we raise kids and our accountability in that raising of kids when things go wrong.
What, Max and William, tell me a little bit about what you've needed to do to become these roles.
Well, Justin, for me, I guess, looking at gay teen life and... all of the things that entail there, such as coming out and having that kind of pride, and then dealing with someone who perhaps is still in the closet, and how you figure out your life and their situation in that, was something that I think all gay teen boys live through. And so I kind of already had that within me. It's all about trying to make it look real and feel real on the stage, and going back to memories of my own coming out story, things like that.
So you've just, in saying that, you've indicated another layer of this play.
Right.
Which hadn't, till this moment, been mentioned. So there's that. Max, what about you?
I think for playing Brandon, the hard part was, like Tom alluded to, a lot of dark secrets come out about this family along the way. And as William just mentioned, there's the element of questioning one's sexuality. So I think for me, the challenge was playing a person who on the surface is seemingly perfect, but then has all these dark layers underneath. And that internal struggle was something that was really important to manifest, but also, you know, took a lot of imagination and building in order to get there.
Does that mean that you're not seemingly perfect? You don't have any of the dark layers underneath at all?
I mean, no, I mean.
He actually had to become nicer.
Yeah. If you ask anybody outside of this studio, you know, hear right, different things.
We'll get the real answer to that.
Right, right.
Our next scene.
Our next scene is as the boys' senior year, and it has just come to Brandon's attention that his mother has confronted him about the tape, and he has said, "This is not me." And Act One especially is about just how the accusation can taint a child, especially in a private school in a smaller environment. So the next scene is the two boys the day after mother has confronted Brandon, meeting in the locker room, and then from that, Coach Shea talking to the junior and senior boys about this tape and what they need to do about it as a school.
Hi, Brandon.
Oh, hey, Justin.
What happened last night? I thought you were going to call me.
Yeah, I was. Sorry about that.
I was actually waiting for your call, Brandon, during which time I finished this week's and next week's Cicero translations, which before you even ask, yes, you can borrow.
Sweet.
I give you my AP bio homework.
Dr. Justin Simmons,
but that's
soon to be.
Right, we're not lab partners anymore, on top of which I'm really mad at you.
My mom and I were talking.
Oh, all night long?
Yeah, because, look, don't freak out, but I told her, okay? About Dartmouth.
You did?
Yeah, so we had to, like, discuss it and stuff, call my grandparents.
Wait. Weren't we going to wait until I heard from Dartmouth and then tell our parents together?
Were we?
It was kind of a pact, Brandon. We kind of vowed.
I told my mom about Dartmouth, Justin, to defuse the situation created by her asking me about the videotape.
What?
Coach Shea gave it to her.
Crap! How did Shea...
He found it because some freshman left it in the VCR upstairs.
Crap! But I thought Mitchell had the tape.
Yeah, but this is Mitchell. Probably he made copies and started selling them.
Idiot.
Shay thought it was me, so he went to my mom because he and my dad are friends.
But it isn't you on the tape.
Obviously.
Okay, well, that's a relief since it's not like we've talked about it, Brandon. And some people are saying it looks like you. Plus, no one's taking credit for it, which, if you examine the list of likely suspects, i.e. your troglodyte teammates, is pretty uncharacteristic.
It looks like me, whatever. But it also looks like Miller, it also looks like Daniel, it also looks like... Well, I mean, it kind of looks like you too, Stud.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I forgot. It was me.
I'm just playing devil's advocate. Anyway, you were there with us. You saw the tape.
I left, Brandon, as soon as I realized.
What do you want? A medal? You're not on the team with us. You had a choice.
You're team captain. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah, but I was, like, transfixed, okay? And it did feel wrong watching the tape, but also not that wrong. It was kind of...
Stimulating?
Kind of.
What, like, you got a Woody?
What? A Woody?
Or whatever.
An erection, you mean?
Yes!
I am not discussing my erections with you in public, Justin.
Anyway, it can't be Trevor. He's got red hair, and it can't be Ridgeway. He's not big enough.
Well, maybe it's Mitchell, and that's why he found it in his locker?
Possibly, but why would Mitchell...
I don't know, because he has no sense of propriety.
If you know and you're just not telling me...
Look, it's stupid, it's lame, and ironically, it's probably not even someone who goes here. And my mom gave Coach Shea the tape back this morning, so it's not like it's an issue anymore, and we shouldn't obsess over it, and you shouldn't turn it into one of your, you know, things.
Things?
Things you fixate on, Rain Man.
Okay.
And I'm sorry that I didn't call you last night. I meant to.
I hate this place sometimes, you know? All the columns, all the marble, it's suffocating.
It's high school, Justin. The Roman Empire fell over 1,500 years ago, and we're still taking Latin?
Hey, can we please not be on opposite teams today?
We always are.
Yeah, okay, fine, but just once, can't we be on teams?
Nope. And how many times do I have to explain why? When we're on the same team, when we're both sweating and in close proximity to each other, I cannot keep my hands off your hard, hard body, and that... makes everyone around us incredibly uncomfortable.
Sick. You're a sick, sick.
Two lines, gentlemen. Now, before we divide into teams, there's something requiring our immediate attention. Today, this morning, Father Lawton called me into his office and informed me that he had received several distressing phone calls from concerned parents, mothers and fathers of some of your fellow students, freshmen and sophomore boys, who told them that they had heard rumors about a videotape which showed one of their classmates being intimate with a young woman, as well as a screening of said videotape on school grounds. When Father Lawton asked me if I knew anything about these distressing accusations, I was ashamed to have to tell him that I did, that I had, in fact, found and confiscated the tape, and that I was in the process of investigating the situation, which I will continue to do. Father Lawton has asked me to talk to the junior and senior classes and to ask anyone with any information about who made this tape or who took part in the supposed screening to step forward.
Coach Shea?
Mr. Simmons?
Can't you just see who it is on the tape?
Unfortunately, Mr. Simmons, we can't. No. Why do you ask?
I'm a naturally curious person, I guess.
Mr. Simmons, gentlemen, Father Lawton is so perturbed by these allegations that he has decided that until the person or persons involved step forward, well, you are all on probation. In other words, no extracurriculars for any and all upperclassmen and no sports, no practicing, no scrimmaging, no playing, no games. Therefore, it is my personal advice to whomever participated in this affront, step forward with whatever information you have, receive your punishment, and let the rest of us continue with our year and our season.
Me again.
Simmons.
What's so awful if you only watched? I mean, what's the big deal? It had already happened, so it's not like he could have stopped it, right?
Mr. Simmons, would you mind telling me what St. Joseph's mission statement is? Which you were asked, which you were all asked to commit to memory. Freshman year. 25 push-ups for everyone if you can't tell me.
To be good boys and true, to strive towards competence, courage, and compassion always, to become men of faith, and to live as men for others.
What he said.
Correct. And what's the first principle of Jesuit spirituality, Mr. Hardy?
Cura personalis.
Cura personalis. The person in front of me is the most important person in the world. 25 push-ups, gentlemen.
What's so awful,
Mr. Simmons, is that there is nothing courageous or compassionate about what's done to this young woman on that tape. It was a demeaning, shameful, and exploitative act involving some or many of you. And that, Mr. Simmons, is the big deal.
There you go. With Aaron Clark as Coach Shea. And before that, we heard Max Tomaszewski as Brandon Hardy. And as Mr. Justin Simmons, Mr. William Rose II. All from the Celebration Company at the Station Theater's production of Roberto Aguirre Sacasa's A Drama, Good Boys and True, which is running, well, last night through Saturday, February 8th. Shows are Wednesday through Saturdays, all of them at 8 o'clock. And if you want to make a reservation, you can call 384-4000. That's in the 217 area code, 384-4000. Or you may reserve online at stationtheater.com. And Stephanie Senior is in the role of Cheryl Moody. We didn't get to hear you today.
Yeah, I my scenes are rather important to the plot. They're kind of there's some important plot points buried in there. So.
And therefore,
I have one with Max, which is plot related, I suppose, and then I have one with Brandon's mother. who that's it's that's sort of Cheryl after the fact. So it's
also pivotal to the outcome.
It's certainly pivotal to what happens to the mother at the end of the play. So,
well, best of luck with the run, and thanks, director Tom Schnari, for bringing your crew in. And there's two other actors in the show. You'll have to go actually see it to get the full scoop. Thanks,
indeed,
both all of you very much for coming on to Live and Local here on FM
90.9. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Our broadcast is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, preserving our nation's music heritage at the University of Illinois, now featuring new exhibits entitled On the Road Again, Cruising Coast to Coast with America's Music. More information is available at sousaarchives.org.
I don't want to pick them up again.
It's called Like Dominoes from the CD Black Ball by Erisa Ray, who is going to be performing at Walnut Street Winery in Rochester tomorrow night from 7 to 11. They often have music there. In fact, last week we featured Bill Price, who was performing, I think last Saturday it was. And we're very pleased to welcome her and guitarist Eric Ferguson in the studio with us to do a little bit live. Thanks very much for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Erisa, if you don't mind, how about a little bio? You're from more or less around these parts.
Yeah, I grew up about an hour west of here, Iliopolis, Illinois, and then I lived in Lincoln for probably 20 years, and then we moved to Tennessee just, I'd say, about 7 years ago.
We, meaning your...
My husband. My husband and our family, our kids.
And your parents and other siblings in your family?
Yeah, I have a brother, and my parents, they all live here in Illinois.
So, you're on a visit.
Yeah.
Yes. And a gig. When did you start writing songs? I understand hymns were among the starts.
Yes, that's mainly when I started writing, was for church. I believe I was in my early 20s when I did that. So.
And how did you make the transition from hymn writing to roots rock Americana type stuff?
It kind of just evolved slowly, because then my songs that I was writing for Christian music that I was doing back then started having a blues vibe to them and a rock, blues rock vibe to them. And in 2007, I released, it was originally a Christian album, an EP called Backwards. And it did not do well in the Christian market, but it did well in the roots market. And that's where I started realizing, you know, maybe that's the direction I should go.
Does that suggest that some of what you do still has a Christian tinge to it, or not?
There are aspects that are like that, but I tend to not be overt about them. I don't like to shove it in people's faces.
But somewhere along the line, it informs the things you say.
And some of it, yeah, some of it. Not every song, just occasional ones.
I read, didn't mark this off in your bio here. It was an interesting sort of expression. Whoever wrote this for you says, quote, her lyrics tell the tale of the long miles between then and now, then meaning basically when you got started, mm-hmm. And her music cries out with every heartache and triumph along the way.
Yes. I had a friend that wrote the bio, and he knows me well enough to know that it's just how life is. You have downs and you have ups, and you know, I kind of write about both of those. I'm not afraid to write about the downs, you know, which just kind of goes along with the blues feel, you know.
Sure. So. Well, yeah, blues is always that curious genre in which the blues suggest it's all down, but sometimes it's actually pretty happy.
Yeah.
Or not. Well, why don't you do something for us, and then it'll may or may not be obvious whether this is a triumphant one or something else.
Yeah, that's fine. This one is Sojourn Band.
So I won't mock you as you make another foul mistake that isn't love. I cringe as you fall, but I won't push your face in the dirt you're hurting in. Your fall's in love. Life's song can seem so wrong, struggling to play its old refrain. In time, swallowing pride will help you know its melody has always been this way. The pendulum swings to find the middle. The sparrow falls so she can land. The new strings are tuned on worn out fiddles. As a fiddler plucks their strands to play with the soldier band. To play with the soldier band. If you want the truth, your perfection isn't sweet and doesn't treat you right. It likes to control. Let me tell you, eating crow sends you walking on the bed road and makes you whole. Last blows can provoke all the decency that you have left within. To be wise, keep in mind, life will be swinging up to sunny skies again. The pendulum swings to find the middle. The sparrow falls so she can land. The new strings are tuned on worn out fiddles. As the fiddler plucks their strands to play with the soldier band. To play with the soldier band. The pendulum swings to find the middle. Sparrow falls so she can land. New strings are tuned on worn-out fiddles. As a fiddler plucks their strands, a pendulum swings to find the middle. The sparrow falls so she can land. New strings are tuned on worn-out fiddles. As a fiddler plucks their strands to play with the soul.
The Sojourn Band, Arisa Ray, vocal, and Eric Ferguson on guitar. She's going to be at Walnut Street Winery. They're going to be at Walnut Street Winery tomorrow night, Walnut Street Winery in Rochester, Illinois, from 7 to 11. Interesting title and interesting image. Where did it come from? Do you know?
Yes. Sometimes my songs come in pieces, and this is one of the times that it did. I was just thinking about life one day and about how sometimes you can, like, have the ups and downs. I kind of touched on that a little bit, but how a pendulum goes up and down, but it always finds its middle. And I was cooking breakfast one time for the family, and all of a sudden I had the whole chorus. And I had stopped making biscuits, and I hurried up and I ran down and wrote it down. And just gradually it developed. Wrote a verse, stopped for a while, wrote another verse. And basically the song is just about picking yourself back up after you make mistakes or going through a hard time, and, you know, just part of life, play with the song of life, so to speak.
The sojourn is the journey, essentially.
The journey of life.
I like the line in the middle, actually, I wrote down, life's blows can provoke all the decency you have within. Did I get that one right?
Yes.
I have a very bad memory when songs go by and I don't always pick up, but that seemed to sort of, that quote from your bio that I read earlier seemed to sort of take one of those elements, the trials and tribulations, so to speak, and turn it into the other, the triumphs. Is this a typical song in that sense for you?
This is my favorite song on the album, Black Ball. I do touch on things that some songwriters are kind of afraid to sing about, emotions of situations. So there's some that are like that and there's some that aren't. So I'm just kind of both.
Well, I mean, you've described either yourself or you've been described as, a roots rocker. Mm-hmm. And I'm always curious about the juxtaposition of those two terms.
Yeah.
The rocker part, I think we can get. And what you're hearing today is you're not hearing
down.
Yes.
Yeah,
very, very stripped down. Yeah. But the roots part.
The roots is just a pulse from the different genres throughout, the history of the United States, or even throughout the world. Just pulls from different pieces and it kind of pulls them together, and that's where the roots come from, the roots of country, the roots of bluegrass, roots of blues, and I kind of just pull different ones and then I rock it up usually if I have especially if I have a band. So
I can only play one guitar at a time.
Yeah,
one Well, we should say that and actually I said this to her when we were coming into the studio today, that the videos I'd seen, Aretha's actually playing guitar, mm-hmm. and rather nicely, I thought.
Oh.
So you will be playing guitar tomorrow night, but then so will Eric.
Yes. Yes, he's playing electric and I'm playing my acoustic.
Yeah. Is this a classical guitar?
It is a classical.
Are you a classical guitarist?
I studied classical guitar at Millikan, actually, yeah. That wasn't... I didn't have the intention of becoming a classical guitarist, but I pick it up every now and then. And I, not too long ago, got rid of my steel string acoustic guitar, so that's why this one's present with me today.
Well, it's a nice sound too. Yeah, I mean, yes. I was sort of looking at the strings. Are they all nylon? Or
yes, nylon. Yeah.
Yeah. Hence the sound. I'm not really well informed about guitars, but at least that much I sort of picked up.
Absolutely.
And again, the sort of classical guitarists don't usually strum, much less slowly.
Right.
But, perhaps we'll hear something else coming up. What do you want to do next?
We have news to see on there. Is that what you have next? Okay.
Oh, well, yeah. We can do whatever.
This is news to see? Or is this what you want to do right now?
Sure. Yeah. News to see?
News to see.
News to see.
Yes.
Okay.
She said, Dolores said that you'd have said tomorrow I'm dying. Bird revealed that the murderer's me. Mouse flapped and knees were slapped and no one suggested the lion. Well, I grinned and laughed at them and hoped that my bell was free. And if they had asked me, I would have said, there's some news to see, there's some news to see, and if they had asked me, I would have said that there would be some news to see. She said, how you been? You heard about poor little JoJo. Her friend knows a man hinting that he lost his mind. Her tongue clucked, my head ducked, while my lips said, oh, oh, no. I saw my pal with this gal and he seemed to be just fine. And since she had asked me, I said, there's some news to see, there's some news to see, and then she had asked me, I said, there will be some news to see. Without questions or no answers, no answers. With suggestion grows a cancer.
serve. Low blow, should have known I have no right to my own mind. Him and all the folder, all that comes from her lips to my ears. Fat jeans, fancy pants with her mouth running all the time. To shut up and drink a cup and leave it in yesteryear. Why didn't she ask me if I think there's some new to see, if there's some news to see? And but since she won't ask me honestly if there will be some news to see, if she just stop and breathe, oh, enjoy my company, oh, there will be some news, some news to see.
Now that's a song I'd love to see the lyrics to. I mean, to see written down. Really nicely done.
Thank you.
I mean, both the vocal and the lyrics. I mean, I've mentioned before on this show that I don't absorb lyrics very well, but I enjoy them as they go by, particularly when they seem to me to be poetic.
Yeah.
And also, your vocal, I've heard many singer-songwriters, particularly somehow women, my opinion anyway, where you can hear that they're imitating somebody else. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't sound to me that they are probably who they are.
Yeah.
And as I'm listening to you, I'm thinking, I can hear, I think, perhaps the influence of any of a number of people I can't name. But somehow it sounds to me, and I've never met you before, that it's probably who you are.
Yeah.
I mean, you've made your own sound.
Yeah. I think that if, as a young girl, when I listened to the different types of voices that I liked, and as you sing more and you sing more and as you write your own songs, you develop your own sound. You'll have influences of the writers and the singers, I'm sorry, those singers that come in that you hear, and it gets in your head and you're like, oh, I might like the way this person does this lick, or I like the way this person belts this out. And then you try to grasp that as your own and then put them together. And as you write your own songs, it kind of evolves into your own sound.
But that sort of reminded me of what jazz players often say about, you know, they do so much learning by listening to very specific musicians. Mm-hmm. And they'll just steal a look here, steal a look there. And then hopefully it is who they are.
Yeah.
I did think of one name. Are you a fan of Eva Cassidy?
I have heard of her. I've heard of her, yes. But I think she's amazing.
But you haven't heard her, really?
No, I have heard her.
You have her,
yes,
yeah, okay.
Yes, I like her a lot.
Yeah, okay. Because it sounded like there was a little bit of that, of her, I don't know the right word, so I won't even try to come up with any, but perhaps something in there.
I get it that occasionally.
Really?
Her je ne sais quoi.
Her je ne sais quoi, yeah. Which I can, yeah. I asked about roots music. Your roots are here in East Central Illinois, or Central Illinois anyway. Do those roots show up in your songs?
I think that there's bits and pieces, especially as time has gone on, more and more of it's been infiltrated in. At one point in time, it was more just how my emotions and trying to figure, you know, out, you know, things from difficult circumstances and trying to feel how I, you know, how do I feel about this life aspect, you know, as opposed to someone just telling me that's what I need to believe. And that's what I was focused on for a long time. But lately I've been writing more about, you know, parts of my growing up and stuff. So.
And your growing perspective on it, I guess. Because you're coming up, you know, you're at a greater and greater distance, as everybody is, from those family roots.
I have a great appreciation for my family. I really do. My parents are really, they raised me to be independent and a thinker on my own. And I think that's helped me in my writing. You know, do I have to say what everybody else says? In fact, I will probably do the opposite, knowing me. If someone else is singing about this, I'll dig my heels in and write about something completely different, just because I'm not a trend follower. I like to set them myself. So I think my parents taught me that. Yeah.
You're living in Tennessee, a place called Spring Hill.
Yes.
Is that anywhere near Nashville? And does that have anything to do with why you went there?
No. Actually, no. It is near Nashville. It's 45 minutes south. I did not want to move to Nashville. my husband got a job there. And I was like, please, anywhere but Nashville. Because I had doubts about my ability. And I was afraid to go in such a big ocean of talent that Nashville has. There's a lot of talent there. But I've ended up doing pretty well. So.
Well, and I'm reading here that somebody of importance found you.
Yes.
Recently, by which I mean a particular record label.
Yes. It was a crazy circumstance. Someone was double booked at a venue in Franklin, Tennessee, which is even closer to Nashville than Spring Hill is. And they call me up and say, will you please do this for me, because I have got booked somewhere else and I need this. They weren't supposed to be there because they were going to go to their normal restaurant that they go to, but they decided that they're going to go to this restaurant that I'm playing at that I wasn't supposed to be at. And on the way there, the label had said, we're not going to add anybody else. We're too booked. We have too many people. And Fred was getting ready to sit down. And he's like, who's that singing? And he heard me singing. And he came in and he bought a CD. And he showed me his card from BMI. And when you're in Nashville, you hear that. I'm from BMI a lot. And
BMI is one of the composer umbrella organizations.
Yes, yes. They keep track of who plays what and everything. And come to find out, he's a senior vice president of the political aspect of it. There's a name for it. But I can't remember what it is. But yeah, he was like one of the two top dogs of BMI and happened to just jump in the middle of my set and bought my CD and signed me 4 or 5 months later.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
As they say, you just never know.
You just never know. It's very true.
Well, I want to hear one more song coming up in just a minute. Let me mention first that you're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. On our next community cinema presentation, the border town of Laredo, Texas, is home to one of the world's largest celebrations of George Washington's birthday. The film Las Marthas follows two young Latina debutantes as they prepare for the celebration's preeminent event, the Colonial Ball, hosted by the Society of Martha Washington. Join Illinois Public Media for the free public screening and panel discussion at the Spurlock Museum on Tuesday, February 4th at 7 p.m. Free garage and street parking is available. Arisa Ray will be at Walnut Street Winery in Rochester tomorrow night at 7, from 7 to 11, along with guitarist Eric Ferguson, both of them here, of course, live in our studio on FM 90.9. What do you want to finish us off with?
I have a song called Two to Build a Bridge, and it's a new song. It's not on any album. So,
so we are privileged today.
Yes.
Broke my heart when you wouldn't make things right. Seems like I can make it better, though I've tried. It takes two to build a bridge. But I try to snuff it out, can't change what I've done all alone. I watched as others have treated you harsher than I. forgave them with open arms, and I'm left outside. It takes two to build a bridge, and only one to burn it down. You sometimes since I've seen you, have you changed? All my wounds have turned into scars, and I'm not the same. It takes two to build a bridge, and only told you I'm sorry. What more do you want? Can't change what we've done all alone. It takes two. Until then, I am waiting. I'm all right. Can't change what we've done alone. Can't do it alone.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Arisa Ray and Eric Ferguson live on Live and Local here on FM 90.9. They'll be at Walnut Street Winery in Rochester tomorrow night from 7 to 11. Programs on WILL are made possible with support of the Friends of WILL and in part by a grant from the Illinois Arts Council, an agency of the state of Illinois. Stay tuned next for All Things Considered from NPR and we'll catch the news right at 5:01. You're listening to 90.9 WYLL FM and HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music, and more for Central Illinois. WYLL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois.